Chapter 6. Sahar. After a hearty breakfast with the council, Christoph followed me to the alchemy lab the next morning, hand in hand. When he wasn't with the council or Rosmarin preparing for our trip south or checking up on the various rebuilding efforts across the kingdom, he and I spent time in the alchemy lab, much like we had before the battle. He practiced with his powers under my direction, and together we looked for any answers that might tell us about his light. We gained a few hints about his powers as light-bearer during the great battle, but everything else was still a mystery. How had his powers killed all those zombies? How had he and I been resurrected? What exactly was he now as a light-bearer? These were the questions we tried to answer, but most days it felt like I was running in place or banging my head against a wall. Ever since he had entered the castle and into the edges of my knowledge, I found him fascinating. There were many things that drew me to the human, for that's what he was at the time, and not just his powers. It was similar quirks of his personality that Rosmarin liked, like his compassion and his bravery, and I even liked his sarcastic charm. But one of the things that interested me most about him was his brain. He had a knack for learning, which is one of the reasons he loved spending time with me in the lab. When he wasn't practicing, he was learning, either reading through books or asking the alchemists and sorcerers questions about their concoctions. I also loved his body. Now that he was superhuman, many of the things that attracted me to him became greater. He was stronger, faster, more in tune with himself and with others, and now had strange fangs that made sex that much more pleasurable. When we reached the lab, some of the sorcerers were already working. Boiling cauldrons and strange concoctions bubbled in front of them. Christoph had picked up some skill as an alchemist from his many days spent in the lab, and the process still fascinated him. He loved to watch the skilled alchemists pour strange liquids into beakers, making colors change or causing strange smells to waft through the room. As was my custom, I immediately began brewing tea, my way to prepare for the long workday ahead of us. I poured Christoph a cup and sat on my favorite love seat, beckoning him over. He sat next to me and sipped the herbal tea. I wrapped an arm around his firm shoulders and spoke up. "I have some things I'd like to try today."
"Oh?"
he answered through sips of tea. "Well, I think it is important that you learn to focus your powers to better use them," I explained as I ran my fingers through his hair. "We don't want you releasing all your light at once and dying again."
"Yeah, that's probably a good idea,"
he replied as he finished his tea in a gulp. "I want to do a few tests beforehand," I continued. "But first, I have something to show you." I stood up, grabbed his empty cup from him, and placed it on a side table. Hands free, I rummaged around my shelves for a minute, and once I found the giant tome I was hunting for, I returned to the love seat. When I dropped it on my lap, maybe a little more forceful than necessary, an oof escaped him.
"What the heck is this old thing?"
he groaned, running his hands along the textured surface. The cover of the book had intricate carvings and text in a language even I wasn't familiar with. "This," I uttered as I leaned over to open the book and flip through the pages, "is one of the many ancient texts we keep in the castle library. I've had some of the sorcerers searching for anything that might help us understand you a little better, light bearer, and I think we found something." He looked down at the page I had turned to, and although we couldn't read any of the strange characters, the picture was clear enough. The primitive imagery depicted a man standing with his hands in the air as rays of light shot out of him in every direction.
"Hey, that looks like me,"
he joked, and I nodded, There are many images contained in this tome, I commented as I flipped through the pages again. We believe this book is about many races and creatures that might have existed throughout history. He questioned my choice of words.
Might have existed?
Yes, I informed him with a sly smile. Remember, before the virus struck, most humans thought supernatural beings were only in fairy tales. Kristoff nodded slowly.
Rosmarin told me a lot about the time before. So, what does this book say about me, then?
He asked. Well, that's the issue. I grabbed the tome from his lap. No one here speaks whatever language the authors wrote this book in. It's possible it's not even spoken anymore.
Okay, so what's the point of showing me this, then?
He mused. Despite our inability to decipher the letters, there are things we can infer from this picture, and what we know of the book itself. Your powers and what you are must be ancient, maybe existing for as long as there have been civilizations. It could also mean that there have been, or are, more people like you out there. He crossed his arms over his chest, pondering my words. His powers were certainly unique here. No one else in Constanta had them. But I didn't need the tome to know that as unique as he was, there must be others that were his kin, that used these same powers. It was simple logic. Whatever he was, he couldn't be the only one, right? I sat quietly beside him, letting his brain work through the riddles before adding, I know it doesn't seem like much, but it's better than nothing. He nodded and conceded my point. We had no other information, but now we at least had hints that other people possessed these powers at some point in history. Still, we had so many questions left unanswered. Kristoff shook himself out of his thoughts and looked at me.
Well, shall we get on with the tests?
He asked. I jumped up and clapped my hands together, and then called over a couple of alchemists. They did a few routine things that Kristoff called poking and prodding, like scraping his arm and tongue and taking hair samples. Then I and the two alchemists, also sorcerers, placed their hands on his chest and back. We closed our eyes and pressed Chris from all sides as we began chanting in low voices. Kristoff's body grew warm where we touched him. Our hands glowed, almost as if we were sucking his powers from him. After about a minute, I broke the silence. I believe we are finished, I proclaimed, and we released him from our hold. I dismissed the two sorcerers and turned to a table to write something down.
Anything you'd like to share with me?
Chris asked, confused by what the hell just happened. With my back turned towards him, I raised a finger, a signal to stay quiet. After a few more moments of scribbling furiously, I turned around. I think, with a little bit of practice, you should easily be able to discover more light abilities. I smiled at him, happy with my discovery. He just stood there, blinking at me. I laughed and then further explained, we were able to use a simple spell to channel some of your light into our hands in a controllable fashion. That makes me think that you don't always have to release all that energy in one big burst, like before.
I did manage to control it into a smaller beam when I fought the Blood Drake and when we fought the Draken,
he added.
It still took a lot out of me, though. Honestly, I feel like I'm still recovering from that blast that killed me.
I nodded. Yes, as you know from practice, using magic can take a lot of strength until you learn how to become more in tune with it. Shall we take a trip to the armory for a little practice, light bearer? We left the alchemists to their potions and traveled the short distance to the nearby armory. Because of my own powers and my friendship with Chris, I knew the armory was where he had spent many happy moments, practicing with the dagger Rosmarin gifted him, sparring with her and Onyx, So this place had become somewhat of a sanctuary for him, and although I sensed his nervousness to use his powers, it would help to be in such a calming, safe environment. I set up a few targets sewn to look like zombies, and then moved to the side of the room. "Okay," I called to him. "Try focusing your power to hit those targets." He inhaled, and then I felt his concentration pull to his core. He pictured the light swirling within him, forming into a ball, and in his mind's eye, he saw that ball rolling from his chest, down his arm, and out of his hand into the target. Then, as he exhaled, he released the energy. But instead of a ball, light exploded out of him in a blinding flash. That sudden release of so much energy drained him, and he crumpled to the ground. I ran over to him. "Are you all right, Christoph?" I breathed, panic coloring my voice. He coughed and sputtered, finally managing to say, "Yeah, I'm fine, I think." I helped him to his feet and could tell he had depleted a lot of his power. "Maybe we should call it a day?" But he wouldn't give up so easily.
"It's all right. Let me try again."
I gave him a concerned look, but he nodded at me, so I returned to my spot at the side of the room. Christoph shook out his limbs, calming and focusing himself like he had done in our practice sessions before. Since the battle, he hadn't really tried to use his powers. The few times he did, he had felt weak and exhausted, like his body was still recharging. Even his glow had dimmed during the weeks following the battle.
"I can see it and feel it, the light within me,"
he called to me.
"I just need to do it. Practice makes perfect, right?"
Once again, he focused all his thoughts on his core and the energy that flowed through him. When he had released the light that disintegrated the zombies, he said he had simply let go of all his inhibitions and let everything, his thoughts and fears and feelings, pour out, like an erupting volcano. But taking all that power and controlling it was a much harder task. He stared at the target intently, and I almost wondered if the light would stream from his eyes. But instead, he brought his hands together at his chest and pushed them forward towards the target. A slender stream of light shot out, struck the target dead on, and it erupted in flames.
"Whoa,"
he muttered, staring at the flaming dummy.
"That's new."
I ran over and wrapped my arms around him and planted a kiss on his lips. "Very good, light bearer." He shrugged with his arms wrapped around my waist, like what he had done wasn't a brilliant show of power. I laughed and gave him another kiss, and with a wave of my hand, I extinguished the fire and then motioned for him to follow her back to the lab. Once we arrived, I brewed another pot of tea, and Chris instinctively sat on the love seat, exhausted from the practice. Even though he controlled the last beam, that first wild blast still wore down on him. I brought him a cup and lowered myself onto the sofa next to him. "That was a good start." I nodded at him, and he just shrugged again and sipped his tea. We sat in silence, like old friends, enjoying the herbal remedy and the sounds of the alchemists at work. I felt a ping in the back of my mind as my powers informed me of the news. "Ah, it seems Erwin has returned." Only a moment later, Onyx entered the lab.
"Sahar, my king."
The gargoyle, always respectful, bowed her head at us.
"Erwin has returned from Nawatl. Queen Rosmarin has summoned the council for a meeting."
Christoph turned to me, his sorceress friend and lover, and smiled.
"You know, you could have saved Onyx the trip down here."
I shrugged and gave him a playful smile.